Good morning, everybody. Today we're going to take a look at the divine commandment of Jesus himself, love your enemies. This is not optional, it's a command. And we're going to talk today about how we're going to do it and why we're going to do it. So let's read the text from Matthew chapter 5. This is part, of course, the Sermon of the Mount. And it is, you have heard, it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. It goes on to say, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. There's a parallel version of that in Luke chapter 6. And when you talk about this with other people of other religions, other faiths, they say, you know, this is impossible. And also, why should we? Well, today we're going to look at the fact that Jesus says you will be doing it and you will be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So let's pray and ask God to fill us with the love that he has for us, for others as well. Father, we come to you cringing sometimes at the idea of being beaten up or hated or persecuted, and yet we are to return the love that you have given us. This is not easy. We're human. When we get hurt, we don't like it. When we're persecuted, when we are accused falsely, all of those things, when things are taken from us, we don't like it. But we pray, Father, that you'll stop us in our tracks and help us to realize that while we were yet enemies, your enemies, you died for us, and help us to be filled with the Holy Spirit that makes it possible. This is impossible without your supernatural love, and we thank you that you are giving it to us. Please bring us along, train us, and help us to realize how vital it is that we love our enemies. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the word for love here is agape. Agape in both the places that Jesus mentions this. So there's no wriggling out of this with using a different Greek word. It is the supernatural love from God, remember, and it's to God and it's to neighbor. And it's a command from Jesus himself. You notice he says, but I say to you, I is the God of heaven, the Yahweh, Jesus himself, who is God. So we're going to take a look at this because it does appear hard, doesn't it? I don't know how many of you can think of enemies right now that you may have. Think of them as we go through this, and we're going to get to the end of it, and we're going to say, you know what? We are going to achieve this. We're going to achieve the loving of our enemies. And remember that the God in us will overcome evil with good. It will overcome evil with good. It simply will happen. The light will extinguish the darkness. So let's take a look at some questions. Now, first of all, what does the Bible say about loving your enemies? So that's the what. Well, the Old Testament clearly says this, Leviticus 19:18, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now, during this, I will probably be using the word enemy and neighbor interchangeably, and I will mean both of those things because that's what we are to do. Proverbs 25, verse 21 says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. And Jesus mirrored that very statement from Proverbs, his word. So we get through this part of this to make sure we help people understand the objection that many will have about the Old Testament, where it appears to be a God of vengeance and it appears to be a people who are hating their enemy. But let's clearly show what we understand is the complete counsel of God through his word. God never commanded his people at any time to hate his enemies. God is an unchanging God of love, and he cannot hate any person, nor can he command anyone else to do so. Nowhere in the Old Testament can any such verse be found about hating your enemy. This was a Pharisaical tradition. They used the word of God in the way they wanted. When we look at the context of this statement, the Sermon on the Mount is actually defining what God was teaching all along. And when Jesus said, "You have heard," he meant the Pharisaical misinterpretation. So God's love is commanded both in the Old and New Testament, and we're never commanded to hate. So I'm going to quickly refer to a few texts that we will not see here on the share screen. We have some remarkable statements in here that when I first came to understand that the Bible is the complete counsel of God, they threw these at me. Psalm 3 verse 7. "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked." And this is David, he's really after them. Psalm 2, "You shall break them or rule them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." Psalm 137, this is one they love to quote to show that the Old Testament persons, characters, did not love their enemies. Psalm 137 verse 9, "Blessed shall be he who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rock." Jeremiah 13:14, "I will dash them against one another, fathers and sons together, declares the Lord. I will not pity or spare or have compassion, that I should not destroy them." So there's a little bit of a mystery on that one, isn't there? Well, first of all, we have to look at the Psalms, realizing this is poetic. Poetry does allow for statements that are quite loud and perhaps not literally fulfilled. But we have to recognize this. Isaiah chapter 61 and Psalm 110 talks about, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." It's referring to Jesus Christ. God does have enemies. Now, these enemies, he defines them himself. They're what I call intractable, implacable. In other words, they won't move, they won't budge, and nothing God does for them changes them. So these are those who have determined to become God's enemies. So we look now at Isaiah 61, and you remember Jesus read this out in the synagogue in Luke 4 in Nazareth. And he started by reading verse 1, Isaiah 61, verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." And he got to verse 2, which talks about that, "to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." But here is the sentence that he did not say at that point, because his mission when he came to the earth was the salvation of the people. But in verse 2, Isaiah 61, it says, "to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." So God has never given up on people, but they will give up on him. And that is sad and pathetic, but that does happen. And God does serve justice on the unrepentant human. They become, in effect, divine enemies. God decides who the enemies are. So let's read now from Hebrews chapter 10, 26 through 31. So what we're trying to do now is cover the subject of, "But you have heard that we are to hate our enemies." It is not the case. But look at this, Hebrews chapter 10, 26 through 31. "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sin." So these are the people who have in effect become implacable, intractable. They cannot be pleased. They will not accept God's forgiveness. And we'll go to the end of that passage, verse 30 of that passage, which says, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay.'" So we remember, the Lord will judge his people, and it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So we take a look at this horrendous killing in Kabul, Afghanistan, don't we? Schoolgirls. It makes you almost cry to think about it. What happened? Well, what does God do? God is a God of justice. If they do not come to repentance, they will pay for that sin. They should. It's a dreadful sin. The suffering of all of those parents, even the idea of all of that happened is horrible. Now, again, vengeance is mine. It's not ours. God is the one who repays, and he repays at the right time. It may take longer than we expect, but we have to remember he will repay. So we now go on to the fact that sin is always punished, and his mercy and grace, he took the entire punishment for us through his Son, our Savior, right? So we remember Romans 5 verse 10, while we were yet enemies, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So let's remember that very carefully. If we're talking about loving our enemies, remember we were an enemy of God at one time, and he loved us. He loved us so much that he sent his Son down to the earth to live a full life, showing who God is, and then he went as a perfect sacrifice for us, so that we did not have to take the punishment we justly earned by living in a rebellion, an enemy life against God. So we have to remember that he loved us when we were enemies, and therefore we are to do the same thing. Remember, he said, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, because his perfect love was expressed through his Son, Jesus Christ. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, that now is the time to think about that. So Jesus is the God of the Old Testament. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And Jesus takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's from Ezekiel 33. So God is love, always was, always will be. So we've eliminated all possible excuses about not obeying this commandment, love your enemy, right? We've eliminated it. No debate about it. We have to do it. It's clear and it's demonstrable, and we've gone through the scriptures. So now, how do we do it? Okay, so now you're going to say, oh, this is difficult. But God's love is an amazing thing, isn't it? It's a beautiful thing. What lengths would we go to spread that love to other people? Is there a place or a person we wouldn't talk to give this gospel to? Even in the darkest place or the hardest person, would you not do it? We should. That's what loving our enemy is talking about. And we may be in front of people who have never had a glimpse of God's love before. And the most intractable, what we could call crankimus maximus people, you know, they're just so far out, you think, I'll never get anywhere near anybody like that. They've been grumpy all their lives and grouchy all their lives. And it's the famous quote, of course, did you wake up grouchy this morning? And the wife says, no, he woke up on his own. So we have to make sure we're never the grumpy, grouchy, nasty person. But here's what Dan Bauman did in Afghanistan. He was a medical missionary there, and he decided that he was going to go to Iran on a missionary trip because he spoke the language, Dari, Farsi, was the same thing almost. But on the way back, they were stopped at the border. So he was separated from his friend and taken into a government building, and he was beaten for 6 hours. 6 hours he was beaten. No reason given at all. And he was thrown into a prison cell, and he was taken into a dark room, and he noticed this dark room had blood stains on the floor. And he noticed then a man who came to beat him, and he beat him relentlessly, and he beat him week after week, day after day, every single day. What did he do? How did he handle this? He was human, like any of us. Nobody wants to be beaten up. You would rapidly pick up a hate for a person like that. You wouldn't like them, would you? But what did he do? Loving our enemies may involve suffering, and suffering is really a communion with Christ, because Christ himself suffered bitterly to save us, didn't he? So before I read the end of the story, let me suggest that we're going to get training lessons on how we love our enemy, right? What are the training lessons? The training lessons are usually, I want you to think about this, because we can take this away, take this home, and we can perform this. The training lessons. Now, don't necessarily tell the other person, I'm using you as my training. So what we're talking about is irritating people, people who are constantly grumpy, and people who have actually done things to harm us in the past. It could even be a relative, couldn't it? It could be somebody at work. It could be somebody who for a long time we've had difficulty with. Well, we're going to focus on that person, aren't we? We're going to use this as a practice, because it says here, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. So we're going to carry this mission out, because God said so, and we're going to do it. And it may be the first glimpse this person has ever had of anybody loving them. I've known people who have been like this their whole life. And we'll see what happens with the story of Dan Bauman. So, is there anything about that person that should keep you from loving them? Is there anything? No, there is nothing, because we're told to love our enemies, right? So, now how did Dan Bauman get there? How did he get to love his enemy in his suffering? How do we get there? Pray about this. Think about it. Enemies, like any human, choose whether to accept God's love or not. And we may come alongside them on their or worst day. But remember, we were born again and we were given God's supernatural agape love. It's supernatural. That's how we love our enemies, by the Holy Spirit in us. So when we've been born again, we accepted Jesus' sacrifice because he loves us. We are then given that opportunity to pass that love on. So here we go. Here's the rest of the story. The rest of Dan Bauman's story. One day, while he was being beaten, so every day he was being beaten by the same man, God challenged Dan to love the man who was beating him. He said, what? Whoa. Now, this is a deeply Christian man. But again, it's not easy. We don't just leap into this and say, oh, yeah, easy. No. You're being beaten. Your jaw's being thrown out and messed up. In fact, I saw a photo of Dan Bauman afterwards. It looked like his jaw had been dislocated a few times as well. Nasty stuff. So this is what happened. God challenged Dan to love this man. He could sense what God was talking to him in his brain here. He says, Dan, ask me what I think about this man. And you think, okay, all right. So Dan said, okay, God, what do you think of this man? It was a surprise to him. It was a big surprise, because this is what he heard God say to him. God spoke to him and he says, you know, I love this man. I have loved him from the beginning, and I love his whole family as well. And Dan was just stunned to realize that this is the God of love who loved us as when we were enemies, and he himself knew that God loved him. So God said to him, love this man. And then he realized why he should do this, because perhaps this man had never encountered this before. Now, not all stories end up like this, but this is what happened. In the middle of one of his beatings, Dan stood up from the floor and said to the man, if you're going to beat me for the rest of my life, let's become friends. And it was astonishing. You know, this man was stopped in his tracks. He looked around. He just didn't know what to do. And what is your name? Dan asked him. And he stretched out his hand for a handshake. You see this in a cover, a photo here. Here's the man who was punishing him, the man with the wrist clenched. But Dan stretched out his hand here. So he was confused. This man was confused. But he eventually reached out his hand and said, my name is Razok. I would very much like to become friends with you. Imagine that. I would really like to become friends with you. It's all because Dan had God's supernatural love in him, filled by the Holy Spirit at God's command, and he carried it out. So now, the final thing here is who. We've already gone through what, how, and now we're going to who. Who is the purpose of loving our enemies? The purpose. Who are they? Remember, God does not want any to perish. That's 2 Peter 3, verse 9. You don't need to turn there. You may be the only person who can get through, but your enemy is the one Jesus loves. Remember that. This man who was horribly beating a Christian, God loves this man. And I don't know what happened to Razok, but he disappeared. And maybe this was his witness that God loves him, and maybe there was a deep change in his heart. We don't know. But just remember on the cross how much Jesus suffered for this. Dislocated joints, raw wounds, scourging, ripping pain in his hands and his feet. And this is what he said. Luke 23, verse 24. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So He has forgiven us. We were his enemy. So most of us have never gone through anything as bad as that, have we? The beating that Dan had, or the crucifixion. We may only have enemies that don't like us. We will always have enemies who are very awkward. We also have perhaps even awkward relatives and a great deal of difficulty with them. But it's really nothing like the persecution that so many go through. And we must pray for those who Christians who go through this, and they love their enemy enough to go into the enemy territory and love them and bring the gospel to them. And that's what we're going to do. So the reason we are to love our enemies is because we're going to carry out God's plan. And I've got 3 points about his plan. So one day the Great Commission of Matthew 24 and 24:28 will be complete. This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. So the question is, are we wanting to be a part of that? Are we willing to endure suffering, persecution, and endure the hate of our enemies? Are we willing to do it, to bring the gospel to them? I'd say we are. When I see South Bay Christian, I know that we have that heart. We have that heart that wants to do that. So the same thing is, this task of proclaiming the gospel of Christ to all nations will include great suffering. It may not be suffering from us personally in the United States at this point, but it will include a lot of suffering. Are we prepared to do this? Dan Bauman knew that he was prepared once God trained him. Once we are trained by listening to talking about those difficult people in our lives, we will be trained as well. And then finally on that, God's plan, eternity will prove it's worth it. And we may go through terrible suffering to get to this point, but it's all worth it, because this little life is just a stepping stone. So we've seen then, haven't we, the what of loving your enemies. We've seen the how of loving your enemies. And we have to ask ourselves, is there anything about another person that should keep me from loving them? And if not, if so, what? Let God's love in you focus on that difficult person. So there's the homework. Think of a person. Remember to pray for them. It is amazing too, many of you have done this. You've prayed for somebody who was really difficult. I remember many years ago I had a very difficult boss, and I had prayed about all kinds of circumstances to comfort me to get out of the situation. But one day I just flat prayed. I said, I want a blessing on this man. I bless him and his family, bless him in his work. Never mind me. But 2 weeks later, he resigned from his job and he went to another position somewhere else. So he left me, and it was not easy living with him. So I was thankful for the break. It does not always happen that we're released from the trouble, but when we pray for another person, that's exactly what God wants us to do. So the purpose of our loving our enemies is Psalm 51:13. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. And I leave you with one final scripture, which is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to sing the song Above All. And let's consider, as we hear this song, the incredible courage and sacrifice of God the Father sending the Son whom he loves to die on the cross in front of him, so that it makes possible for us to have eternal life with him. So when we sing this song, let's think about that, and let's worship God the Father and his Son Jesus in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what will enable us to love our enemy. It's easy loving our neighbor, but we're going to love our enemy as well. So